الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، continue our discussion with regards to the brief interpretation of the verses of Surah Al-Fatiha and some of the benefits that are derived from therein, some of the benefits that are derived from that explanation and interpretation. We have seen that the Fatiha has been divided into two parts, and this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has clarified by way of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the well-known hadith, al-hadith al-Qudsi, qasamtu as-salata bayni wa bayna abdi nisfain, that Allah, He says, that I have divided the prayer between me and my slave into two parts. And Allah, He mentioned in this hadith, al-hadith al-Qudsi, وَلِي عَبْدِي مَا سَأَلَ, and my slave, he will have what he asked for. So up until this point, we have studied the first part, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, this is for Allah Azza wa Jal. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, this is for Allah Azza wa Jal. Maliki Yawm al-Din, Master of the Day of Judgment, this is for Allah Azza wa Jal. And likewise, the first half of the next verse, Iyaka Na'budu, this is also for Allah Azza wa Jal. So all of this portion here is with regards to praising Allah, praising Him and glorifying Him and magnifying Him and revering Him by mentioning His beautiful names and His lofty attributes of perfection. And this is the means to draw near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to draw near to Allah by calling on Him by His beautiful names and attributes of perfection, and by drawing near to Him by submitting and surrendering to Him and confessing that all of the favors and blessings are from Him, and then likewise admitting to His Lordship and authority over a person, and that one, he is a slave to Allah and in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Iyaka na'budu, iyaka na'budu. So the one who calls on Allah in this manner, calling on Him by praising him for his attributes of perfection and praising Him for His favors and His blessings, and likewise praising Him by mentioning His beautiful names and attributes and calling on Him in this manner, loving Him and hoping in Him and fearing Him and having trust and reliance upon Him, and mentioning these beautiful names in this manner, and likewise mentioning that one is under His servitude and lordship and under His authority and command, and that one is submitting to Him. In this manner, many times a person who calls on Allah like this, he will get what he is asking for. He will receive what he is requesting. And this is what we are being taught in this chapter: the manner to draw near to Allah, and the manner to call on Allah, and the manner to have what one desires and hopes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the good of this life and the hereafter. And it is in this manner, by praising Him and realizing His favors and blessings, and praising Him and glorifying Him for His beautiful names and lofty attributes of perfection, and calling on Him by those names and mentioning them, understanding what they mean and what they require and necessitate, and likewise confessing His Lordship and authority, and that we are a slave to Allah Azza wa Jalla. This is all what is found here. Alhamdulillah, Rabb al-Alamin, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Maliki, Yawm al-Din, Iyaka na'budu, Iyaka na'budu. So this is a tawassul. Tawassul ila Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the proper tawassul, seeking a means of nearness to Allah in the proper manner, by way of praising Him and thanking Him and surrendering to Him and submitting to Him. This is all found here in Surah Al-Fatiha. In Surah Al-Fatiha, this is the first half again, which is all for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning it is all praises of Allah and glorification and magnification of Allah and servitude and surrender to Allah. So whenever one he says Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Allah Azza wa Jal, he says Hamidani Abdi, not to forget this. Then whenever one he says all praise and thanks is to the Lord of the worlds, then Allah he says my slave has praised me. And then if one he says Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Allah he says Athna Alayya Abdi, my slave he has repeated my praise, he has repeated my praises. And then if one he says Maliki Yawmiddin, then Allah he says Majjadani Abdi, that indeed my slave he has glorified me and magnified me and praised me for my majesty. And praise me for my majesty. And then when he says Iyyaka na'budu, this is likewise for Allah Azza wa Jal. But the second half is for the slave. The second half is for the person who is reciting. Wa iyyaka nasta'in. And you alone do we seek aid and help from. And you alone do we seek aid and help from. So now in this verse here, Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. You alone do we worship and you alone do we seek aid and help from. Now half of this verse, the first half of this verse is for Allah, and then the second half begins for the portion of the slave. وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. And you alone do we seek aid and help from. Aid and help from. And all of this here, and all of this here is an introduction and paving the way in preparation for the main intent and aim, and that is to ask Allah Azza wa Jal. So asking for the greatest of bounties and favors that one could ask for in this life, and the most important blessing and request that one could hope for in this world and in the hereafter, and that is to be guided to the straight path. So all of this praise and glorification and all of this magnification and veneration and this surrender and submission and love and hope and fear and this trust and reliance that has proceeded and from these statements and from these verses, when one recites them with his tongue and his heart, with his tongue and his heart, this is all leading up to the great supplication, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. Guide us to the straight path. Guide us to the straight path. So a person, if he wants to call on Allah and ask him for his desires and for his needs of this worldly life, he wants to request for the good of this life or the hereafter, this is the proper manner. To begin first and foremost by praising Allah. To begin first and foremost by praising Allah. Praising Him and thanking Him and mentioning His beautiful names and attributes and mentioning His authority and confessing to that and mentioning one's weakness and that he is a slave to Allah and that he surrenders and submits and that he is in need of Allah Azza wa Jal, and he hopes for his help and his protection. And then he will ask for what he wants. And then he will ask for what he wants. And also if one, any outside of the Fatiha, one just making dua, if one were to add before that request as well, sending the salah and the salam, sending the salah and the salam on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam before the request likewise, this is even better and more preferred. This is even better and more preferred. So this is from the benefits here with regards to Surah Al-Fatiha. We have seen that which is related to those verses that have preceded, and now the discussion is with regards to the middle verse. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. You alone do we worship and you alone do we seek aid and help from. This verse is in the middle of these seven verses, and half of it is for Allah, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ, and half of it is for the slave, وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. And this verse is indeed an amazing verse. This verse here is indeed an amazing verse. And the people of knowledge, they mentioned that the first half is the meaning of the shahada and la ilaha illallah. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ. You alone do we worship. This is the meaning. This is the meaning or the means of implementing the statement La ilaha illallah, that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. So one, he will implement that. And in this statement here, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ, you alone do we worship. And because we believe أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. So this statement here repels shirk in entirety and from every aspect, major and minor. Major and minor, the one who fulfills the rites of this statement إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ. He understands that properly, and he strives to implement that in his life. Then this will purify his heart from shirk and from attachments to the creation. From shirk and from attachments to the creation. And for bringing about benefit or repelling or removing harm. Rather, one, he will attach himself to Allah, because it is Allah alone whom he worships. Because it's Allah alone whom he worships. And this is the meaning of the statement, La ilaha illallah. And as for the second half, which is for the slave, وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. And you alone do we seek aid and help from. And you alone do we seek aid and help from and assistance from. Then this is the implementation of the statement, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. That there is no might nor any power except with Allah. Meaning a person, he does not have the ability nor the strength to change from one circumstance to another, or to move from one place to another, or to have any good in this life, or to be safe from any harm in this life or in the next, except by the power and the might and the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal. So the statement, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, this is a statement of istiana, karimatu al-istiana. So, La ilaha illallah, karimatu al-tawheed. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله كلمة الاستعانة. And these are from the greatest statements, the greatest statements, and from the treasures of the Jannah. That one he will say لا إله إلا الله, and that one he will say لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله, and one he cannot say لا إله إلا الله except if Allah helps him and aids him, and by the permission and the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. So to establish the first aspect, which is the right of Allah, to worship Him alone, this requires for Allah to guide a person and to help him and to aid him and to assist him. So therefore, one, he will confess and bow down to the command of Allah and worship Him alone, but he will also confess to the lordship of Allah, and that one is in dire need of the help of Allah in order to perform that. So al-isti'ana is from the greatest aspects of worship. Adistiana itself, seeking aid and seeking help, is from the greatest aspects of worship. And this comes after mentioning the fact of worshiping Allah. You alone do we worship, and you alone do we seek aid and help. So seeking aid and help is a type of worship. So here we have mentioning in general that we alone, you alone do we worship, O Allah. And then after that, a specific type of worship is mentioned. Directly, and you alone do we seek aid and help. And the people of knowledge, they mention this is because al-ibadah hiya al-ghaya, wa al-isti'anatu hiya al-wasila ilayha, al-wasilatu ilayha. That the aim and the goal and the intent is to worship Allah, al-ibadah, and the means and the way to achieve that and to reach that is by the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is by the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking the help and aid from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the goal and the aim and the reason for our creation. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. And I have not created the jinn and the mankind except to worship me alone. And the means to do that is to have the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, this specific action of worship is mentioned here. Is mentioned here after mentioning this worship. So no doubt we say Allah Azza wa Jal, we could say any outside of the Quran, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَلَكَ نُصَلِّ وَلَكَ نُصَلِّ وَلَكَ نُزَكِّي. Any many different actions of worship. For you alone do we worship, and for you alone do we pray. For you alone do we give zakat. وَلَكَ نَسُوم. And for you alone do we fast. These are all individual actions of worship. وَبِكَ نَسْتَعِيثُ, for example, وَنَسْتَغِيثُ, and you alone do we seek refuge with, and do we seek relief by way of, and the likes like this. So these are all actions of worship, just like al-isti'ana. But al-isti'ana was mentioned here specifically, and not these other actions of worship, because the means to obtain all of those actions of worship is by having the help of Allah Azza wa Jal. Is by having the help of Allah Azza wa Jal. So therefore, this is a great benefit to realize the status of worship, and likewise the status of seeking the help of Allah in worship. The status of worship and the status of seeking the help of Allah in worship. And many people, they will have al-isti'ana billahi azza wa jal fi amur al-dunya. And they will seek the help of Allah in their worldly affair. One of them will want, maybe he'll want to get married, or he'll want to get a job or a new house or a new vehicle. Or even sometimes one of them, he'll just want to get a new pair of shoes. And he will work hard and seek the help of Allah. And he will put great faith and trust and reliance in Allah Azza wa Jal to get a dollar. To get a dollar which is not blameworthy. Rather it's required. Whether it's required, but what is blameworthy is whenever a person he will realize this affair, striving to achieve his worldly life, seeking the help of Allah with trust and reliance. But whenever it comes to establishing the obedience of Allah, he's negligent in that action of worship. So just as we seek the help of Allah Azza wa Jalla in getting our worldly life, this is good. So not to misunderstand. No, this is good. This is a requirement. This is a requirement, this obligation in every affair. But the point is to emphasize in worship, to seek the help of Allah in obedience to Allah, to seek the help of Allah to obey Allah, to seek the help of Allah to have khushu' and salat, to seek the help of Allah to understand the Quran, to seek the help of Allah to repent to Allah, to seek the help of Allah to seek forgiveness from Allah, to seek to put reliance and trust and desire and love and hope and seek truly with one's heart the help of Allah Azza wa Jal to establish his deen in one's life, in public and in private. So this is something that is very beneficial. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. You alone do we worship and you alone do we seek aid and help. And so to seek aid and help in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in everything minor and major, even if a person is going to tie his shoe, he'll seek the help of Allah Azza wa Jal. Even if a person is going to tie his shoe, he'll seek the help of Allah Azza wa Jal. If he's going to get married or he's going to get a new job, he'll seek the help of Allah Azza wa Jal. If he wants to have a good portion of this life, no doubt he will seek the help of Allah Azza wa Jal. This is not blameworthy. This is not blameworthy. But likewise, he will seek the help of Allah Azza wa Jal in obeying Allah, and obeying Allah, and being submissive to Allah, and being humble to Allah, and being sincere to Allah, and being truthful with Allah. So, in establishing the deen of Allah, and performing the commandments, and avoiding and staying away from the prohibitions, to remember Allah and seek His help to be obedient, and to seek His help to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the author, he says here some great benefits, and this is from... This is from the knowledge of the likes of this author, and likewise the ulama of the salaf, and those upon the way of the salaf, those who understand the deen of Allah with a deep understanding. They will mention a few words, but these words they will carry so much benefit. He says, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ أَيْ لَا نَعْبُدُ غَيْرَكَ. He said, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ. What does that mean? أَيْ لَا نَعْبُدُ غَيْرَكَ. This is the meaning. You alone do we worship, meaning we do not worship anyone besides you. Meaning we do not worship anyone beside you. So this is the meaning. So this is the meaning. And this is more emphasized, this understanding of it. Tawheed is more emphasized in this manner. In this manner, instead of saying, نَعْبُدُكَ. We worship you. We worship you. لَا إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ. You alone do we worship. To emphasize the affair of it, tawheed, and the affair of al-ikhlas, and the affair of al-ikhlas. But the author now, he mentions a most wonderful benefit. He says, أَعْهَدٌ بَيْنَ الْعَبْدِ وَبَيْنَ رَبِّهِ أَلَّا يَعْبُدَ إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ. That this is a covenant. Whenever we say this right here, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ, because this is the meaning of لا إله إلا الله. This is the meaning of لا إله. So he says, أَحَدٌ, this is ahad, this is a covenant, a bond, a promise, a contract, a covenant, a bond, a promise, a promise, a contract, a bond, a covenant with Allah. أَحَدٌ بَيْنَ الْعَبْدِ وَبَيْنَ رَبِّهِ. This is a bond, a covenant, a promise between the slave and between his Lord, that he will not worship anyone besides him, that he will not worship anyone besides him, and he will not devote any action of worship, major, not major nor minor, to anyone besides Allah Azza wa Jal. Beginning with the actions of the heart, with the actions of love and hope and fear, and with the actions of trust and reliance, and surrender and servitude and submission. And likewise with all of the actions of the tongue and the body parts that are actions of worship. That are actions of worship. These all must be directed to Allah alone, and this is the covenant. This is the covenant, this is the promise, this is the contract. This is what we will be taken to account for. أوفوا بأهدي, أوفي بأهديكم. Fulfill my covenant with me and I will fulfill my covenant with you. meaning that this is the right of Allah. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ حَقُّ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ الْعِبَادَةُ حَقُّ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْعَبِيدِ. This is the right of Allah Azza wa Jal upon the slaves, that he should be worshipped alone with no partners. That he should be worshipped alone with no partners, and that all actions of worship should be for Allah alone. That calling and invocation, it should be for Allah alone. Slaughtering and salat and zakat and siyam and hajj and umrah, all of this, tawaf, all of this should be for Allah alone. Seeking knowledge and teaching and memorizing the Quran and reciting the Quran, all of this should be for Allah alone. Should be for Allah alone. And this is the right of Allah. حَقُّ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْعَبِيدِ أَنْ يَعْبُدُوهُ وَلَا يُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. That's the right of Allah upon the slaves, that they should worship Him alone and not associate any partners with Him. وَحَقُّ الْعِبَادِ عَلَى اللَّهِ أَلَا يُعَذِّبْ مَنْ لَا يُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. That Allah, He will not punish the one who does not associate partners with Him. أَوْفُوا بِعَهْدِي أُوفِ بِعَهْدِكُمْ وَإِيَّايَ فَارْهَبُونَ. And وَإِيَّايَ فَارْهَبُونَ. Fulfill your covenant with me and I will fulfill my covenant with you, and fear me. And fear me alone. And fear me alone. So this is a covenant with Allah. So we have to be very cautious not to violate that covenant. Not to invalidate that covenant. Not to invalidate that covenant from its origin, and not to violate it. And not to weaken it. And not to betray the covenant with Allah Azza wa Jal by devoting some actions of worship to other than Allah. By devoting some actions of worship to other than Allah. By turning the heart with love or hope or fear or trust or reliance to other than Allah. While performing actions of worship, any major or minor, in a major manner or in a minor manner. This is again an emphasis of why showing off is so blameworthy. Showing off and doing actions of the hereafter, seeking the reward from the people, or from the seeking the praises of the people. Why this is so blameworthy? Because this is the right of Allah Azza wa Jal. Iyyaka na'budu, it's the covenant. So the one who decorates his prayer so the people will like him or praise him, or have a position with him in the likes like this, or have some benefit from them, or he decorates his recitation, or his seeking of knowledge, or he mentions his good deeds in order to be praised, or he does good deeds in front of the people and perfects them so they will like him and hold him in high regards. All of this is showing off and wanting to be heard and wanting position and rank with the people besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have seen from the lordship of Allah Azza wa Jal, He is the one who lowers and He is the one who raises. It's in His hands alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala. يُعِزُّ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيُذِلُّ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. He grants honor to whom He wills, and He humiliates and lowers whom He wills, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore a person, he has to devote himself to Allah and fulfill the contract, fulfill the covenant of إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ, meaning the covenant of لا إله إلا الله. The covenant of لا إله إلا الله. And this cannot happen except with the help and the aid of Allah. So then we say along with that, وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. And this is very similar to that which has preceded in the beginning of the chapter. Alhamdulillah, رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Alhamdulillah, رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. All praise and thanks is to Allah. All praise and thanks is for Allah, the Lord of the worlds. The Lord of the worlds. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he said, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. تَفْصِيلُ Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Tafsil Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. This is the interpretation of Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. All praises and thanks is for Allah alone, and He is the Lord of the worlds. What is the interpretation of that? What does that mean? That you alone do we worship, and you alone do we seek help from. We worship you alone because you are Allah, and we seek help from you alone because you are Rabb Al Alameen. So the first one is again related to the issue of Al-Uluhiyyah. La ilaha illallah. And the second part is related to the issue of rububiyyah, Rabbil Alameen. So a person, he will worship Allah alone with no partners, because Allah, He is the one who possesses the attributes of divinity. Allah alone, He is the one who has the attributes of perfection with no deficiency whatsoever. Allah alone, He is the one who is alive and never dies. As for the jinn and the mankind, then they all die. Then they all die. So Allah alone, He is Allah. He is ذو الألوهية والعبودية على خلقه على خلقه أجمعين. He is المألو المعبود الحق. He is the true God who is worthy of worship. So we say إياك نعبد. Him likewise, because also He's رب العالمين. He is the one who has the command and the authority, and His creation belongs to Him. And nothing happens except with His permission. سبحانه وتعالى وإياك نستعين. So therefore we seek help and aid with Him alone. And you alone do we seek aid and help with. So by understanding the attributes of إلهية, By understanding the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal, of the divinity, that He possesses the attributes of perfection, no deficiency whatsoever from every aspect. A person, he can fulfill this right here. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ. And by understanding the knowledge of Ar-Rububiyyah, understanding the knowledge of Ar-Rububiyyah, now these pathways will become open for him of seeking help and aid and having trust and reliance to for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. The one who witnesses His Lordship, the one who witnesses His Lordship, that Allah Azza wa Jal, He is the one who raises whom He wills, and He honors whom He wills, and He lowers whom He wills, and He belittles whom He wills. And whomever Allah honors and raises, no one can belittle him. And whoever Allah lowers and belittles, no one can raise him. No one can raise him. Allah, He is the one who gives life, and Allah, He is the one who gives death. And if Allah has decreed that that person's term will come, then it will come, and no one can prohibit that, repel that, or elong that, or even shorten that. Or even shorten that. The command is the command of Allah's, and the provision is the provision of Allah's, and nothing happens in the creation except for the will, except for by the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. So therefore, he will put his trust and his faith and reliance on Allah, and he will seek help with Allah alone, because the creation cannot help you. The creation cannot help you if Allah does not will for the creation to help you. The creation cannot benefit you or aid you if Allah does not decree and allow for them to help you or benefit you. No one can protect you from Allah. There's nowhere to run. There's nowhere to hide. This is the kingdom of Allah Azza wa Jal. So what do? You run to Allah. فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. So therefore you flee to Allah, because He is Allah. He is رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. He is Ar-Rahman. He is Ar-Rahim. He is Maliki Yawm al-Din. So then you emphasize this affair, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ. وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. You alone do we worship. You alone do we devote ourselves to with humbleness and servitude and submission and humility and absolute obedience. And you alone do we seek help and aid. Help and aid in order to do that. In order to do that. In order to do that. In order to obey Allah, a person, he has to have the help and the aid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the greatest thing that a person will seek help from Allah with regards to is the obedience of Allah. The greatest thing that one will hope for the aid and the help and the support from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, any to perform, is the obedience of Allah. If Allah helps you to obey Him, then you will have all good in this life and the hereafter. And if Allah does not help you to obey Him, then you will be entrusted to yourself, and you will be lost and left to your whims and desires, and to be manipulated by the devil and those who follow him from mankind. But those whom Allah Azza wa Jal, He guides and He aids them and helps them, then they will be in the company of the righteous and the company of the noble and dignified and honored in this life and in the hereafter. And this is what a person he asks for after this. اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ غَيْرُ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِينَ. Guide us to the straight path, the path of those whom you have bestowed your favors and blessings upon. And the greatest favor and blessing is that one, he will be guided to that path, the path of the prophets and messengers, the path of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the path of the martyrs and the righteous, the path of the truthful and the martyrs and the righteous. And indeed, this is the best of all companions and company. The best of all companions and company. So the one again who realizes and understands the attributes of al-ilahiyyah that require and necessitate for a person to surrender to Allah with love and with fear and with hope in complying to His commandments and avoiding and staying away from His prohibitions, then the one who realizes this affair, then he will be able to establish that right. And likewise, the one who realizes the attributes of al-rububiyyah, and then he will be able to establish that submission and surrender and trust and reliance and hope, and he will be able to entrust his whole life and affairs to Allah Azza wa Jal and be a true slave. And then he will have great understanding and knowledge in the manner that he worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from understanding the ilahiyyah and understanding the rububiyyah. And understanding the rububiyyah. And this is tawheed, having a tawheed al-ilmi and a tawheed al-amali. This is all what the Quran was revealed about. And this is all what this chapter is about. This is indeed an amazing an amazing affair. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions two great points together. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. You alone do we worship, and you alone do we seek aid and help from. Do we seek aid and help from. Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned about this verse here. He says, أي لا نعبد إلا إياك ولا نتوكل إلا عليك. The meaning of this verse, meaning that we do not worship anyone except for you, O Allah, and that we do not put our trust and reliance upon anyone except for you, O Allah. So Aristiana is a tawakkul. The reality of Aristiana, seeking the help of Allah Azza wa Jal, is to put one's trust and reliance and faith in Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is what he's saying here. The meaning of إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ لَا نَعْبُدُ إِلَّا إِيَّاكَ. We do not worship anyone except for you. And the meaning of وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, and you alone do we seek aid and help from. وَلَا نَتَوَكَّلُ إِلَّا عَلَيْكَ. وَلَا نَتَوَكَّلُ إِلَّا عَلَيْكَ. And we do not put our trust and reliance and faith except in you. Except in you. And Ibn Kathir, he says, وَهَذَا هُوَ كَمَالُ الطَّاعَةِ. And this here is the perfection of obedience. And the perfection of obedience. The perfection of obedience is in this manner. By not worshipping anyone except for Allah, and by not putting one's trust, reliance, or faith in anyone except for Allah. So by gathering between these two affairs, a person, he can complete and perfect the obedience. He can complete and perfect the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn Kathir, he says, rahimahullah, وَالدِّينُ كُلُّهُ يَرْجِعُ إِلَى هَذَيْنِ الْمَعْنِيَيْنِ إِلَى هَذَيْنِ الْمَعْنِيَيْنِ. And the religion in its entirety returns back to these two meanings here. The religion in entirety goes back to these two realities here. The reality of making the worship sincerely and purely for Allah alone, and the reality of putting faith and trust and reliance and one's entire faith upon Allah alone. These two affairs, this the whole religion goes back to here. So he said, rahimahullah, وَهَذَا كَمَا قَالَ بَعْضُ السَّلَفِ الْفَاتِحَةُ سِرُّ الْقُرْآنِ وَسِرُّهَا هَذِهِ الْكَرِمَةِ إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. So this is just as some of the Salaf, they have mentioned that al-Fatiha is the secret of the Qur'an, and the secret of the Fatiha is this statement here, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. That the Fatiha is the secret of the Quran. Yani the great wisdom that the meanings of the Quran return back to. And the secret of the Fatiha is this statement here. You alone do we worship, and you alone do we seek aid and help in. Aid and help in. We have seen previously the statement of Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala, whenever he mentioned that, some of the people of knowledge, they mentioned that the previous books, they are summarized in the Mufassal, and the last portion of the Quran, and then that portion was summarized in the Fatiha, and the Fatiha was summarized in this verse here, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. This is what he's referring to here. This is what Ibn Kathir likewise, rahimahullah ta'ala, he's referring to here. So he says, فَالْأَوَّلُ تَبَرُّؤٌ مِنَ الشِّرْكِ وَالثَّانِي تَبَرُّؤٌ مِنْ الْحَوْلِ وَالْقُوَّةِ وَالتَّفْوِيلُ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. So the first statement is freeing oneself entirely from shirk, and the second statement is freeing oneself entirely from having any ability or authority, any to achieve any good in this life or the hereafter, and trusting one's entire affair to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, going back to the issue, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ is with regards to لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ is with regards to لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ Illa billah. So this is what he's referring to likewise. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullahu ta'ala, he mentioned about this verse as well, referring to the first part to clarify that إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ, you alone do we worship. So ibadah, what is ibadah? You alone do we worship. So he says al-ibadah tajma'u aslain. Al-ibadah tajma'u aslain. That ibadah is a term. Worship is a term that gathers two fundamentals, and they are غَايَةُ الْحُبِّ بِغَايَةِ الذُّلِّ وَالْخُضُوعِ. That is the peak of love and the peak of submission and surrender. The peak of love and the peak of submission and surrender, yani humbleness. This is ibadah. Ibadah, in the state of ibadah. What is the reality of ibadah? When is a person truly in the state of ibadah? Yani he's saying here that it has two fundamentals, two principles, and that is غايت الحب وغايت الذل والخضوع. The peak of love. The peak of love and the peak of surrender and submission. He mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, if somebody loves someone but he not surrender and submit to him, he's not worshipping him. And if somebody submitted to somebody or surrendered to them, but he did not love them, he's not worshipping them. He's not considered an abid for that thing until he surrenders and submits to them with love and honor and respect. So the one who submits and surrenders with love and honor and respect, this is ibadah. This is ibadah. He mentioned likewise, rahimahullah, al-istiyanatu tajma'u aslain. And I summarize, this is from the benefits he mentioned in the introduction of Madarij al-Salikin. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala. Al-istiyanatu tajma'u aslain. And as for al-istiyana, then this also is an action of worship that gathers two fundamentals. He says, athiqatu billah, athiqatu billah, wal-i'timadu ala Allah. This al-istiyana, seeking help from Allah, is an action of worship that gathers two fundamentals. And that is athiqatu billah. Athiqa billah. To have trust in Allah. To trust in Allah. To trust in Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is so very important. We have to put our trust in Allah. And al-i'timad alayhi. And then to rely upon Him. And then to rely upon Him. Maybe somebody who would trust somebody, but he will not rely upon them because he has no need for them. Maybe he'll trust them. For example, they're trustworthy with him. But he does not need to rely upon them because he suffices from other avenues. And maybe there's somebody that maybe he'll rely upon them because he's in need, but he does not trust them because they're not trustworthy. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is Rabbil Alameen. So therefore a person, he'll put his faith and trust in Allah, and then he'll put his reliance entirely upon Allah Azza wa Jal. And from the perfection of relying upon Allah Azza wa Jal is taking the means that are lawful. It's taking the means that are lawful. So Ibn Qayyim, he says, وَهَذَا هُوَ التَّوَكُّلُ وَهُوَ حَقِيقَةُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. هَذَا هُوَ التَّوَكُّلُ. This is what is tawakkul. This is trusting and relying upon Allah. And this is the reality of وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. And you alone do we seek aid and help from. So the reality of that statement is that one whom he will trust in Allah, he will trust in Allah, and then he will rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in everything that he is embarking upon in this life and that which he hopes for, likewise in the hereafter. That he will trust in Allah and trust that the command of Allah is the command of Allah. And he will entrust the command to Allah Azza wa Jal. And he will submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he will rely upon Allah Azza wa Jal to take care of all of the affairs in his life. Like I said, even if he's tying his shoe, he will do that, seeking the help and the aid of Allah Azza wa Jal. Seeking the help and the aid of Allah Azza wa Jal. Ibn Qayyim, he mentions, وَجَاءَ اجْتِمَاعُ هَذَيْنِ الْأَصْلَيْنِ كَثِيرًا, يعني في القرآن, that these two fundamentals, they have been coupled together in more than one place in the Qur'an. The first place, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. You alone do we worship and you alone do we seek aid and help from. These two principles near. And now the ibadah, the principle of ibadah, the issue of ibadah and the issue of seeking the help and the aid of Allah, relying upon Allah Azza wa Jal, these two affairs, they come coupled and mentioned in the same context and in more than one verse in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We see it here in the very first chapter. Likewise, Allah, He mentions, وَمَا تَوْفِيقِي إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْتُ وَإِلَيْهِ أُنِيبُ. That my guidance and my success in this life is not by anyone except for Allah. عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْتُ وَإِلَيْهِ أُنِيبُ. Upon Him I put my faith and trust and reliance, and to Him I devote myself with repentance and sincere obedience. And likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions, فَاعْبُدْهُ وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَيْهِ. So therefore, worship Him alone and put your trust and reliance and faith in Him alone. فَاعْبُدْهُ وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَيْهِ. This is the same issue here in Surah Al-Fatiha. وَإِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. Likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned, رَبَّنَا عَلَيْكَ تَوَكَّلْنَا وَإِلَيْكَ أَنَابَنَا وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَصِيرُ. Oh, our Lord, it is upon you. Upon you we put our trust and faith and reliance, and To you alone do we devote ourselves in obedience, and to you is the final destination and the return. And to the final destination is the return. So all of this is explaining this affair. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawm Ad-Din. Maliki Yawm Ad-Din. To put your faith and trust upon Allah Azza wa Jalla, to worship Him alone, because you're returning back to Him. Wa ilayhi al-masir, and to Him is the return. And He's going to ask us, and He's Maliki Yawm Ad-Din. Maliki Yawm Ad-Din, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And then likewise Allah, He mentions, وَذْكُرْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ وَتَبَتَّلْ إِلَيْهِ تَبَتِيلًا رَبُّ الْمَشْرِكِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ فَاتَّخِذْهُ وَكِيلًا فَاتَّخِذْهُ وَكِيلًا. This is also from those beautiful verses. وَذْكُرْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ وَتَبَتَّلْ إِلَيْهِ تَبَتِيلًا. And mention the name of your Lord and devote yourself to Him with sincere and true devotion. رَبُّ الْمَشْرِكِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ فَاتَّخِذْهُ وَكِيلًا. That He is the Lord of the East and the West. He is the Rabb of the East and the West. There is nothing worthy of worship except for Him. So therefore, take Him as your guardian and protector. فَاتَّخِذْهُ وَكِيلًا. Therefore, take Him as your guardian and protector to dispose of your affairs. And Allah, He mentions, قُلْ هُوَ رَبِّي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْتُ وَإِلَيْهِ مَتَابٍ. Say, and you say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and with your tongue and believe it in your heart, He is my Lord. Meaning Allah, He is my Lord. There is none who is worthy of worship besides Him. عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْتُ وَإِلَيْهِ مَتَابٍ. Upon Him I have put my faith and trust and reliance, and I am devoted entirely to Him and repentance and sincere obedience. And sincere devotion and obedience. So these are two great principles that are the means of success in this life and the hereafter. And they are covenants with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The author, he says, وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ أَحْدٌ بَيْنَ الْعَبْدِ وَبَيْنَ رَبِّهِ أَلَّا يَسْتَعِينَ بِأَحَدٍ سِوَى. Just like in the first portion, when and you alone do we seek aid and help, this is also a covenant, a promise and a bond, a contract between the slave and his Lord, that he will not seek aid and help from anyone besides Allah. From anyone besides Allah. So therefore, the goal and the aim and the purpose of our very life is to worship Allah and to make the worship sincerely and purely for the sake of Allah alone. And the only means to establish that and to perform that is to have the aid and the help and support from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that means for that is to submit and to surrender and to bow down to His command and authority and obey Him and His commandments and establishing His religion and avoiding and staying away from the prohibitions and hoping for His reward and fearing His punishment subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of these ideas here are contained in Surah Al-Fatiha. And again, all of this is an introduction and preparation for the next verse that is coming, the great supplication, rather the most obligatory supplication and the most important supplication and the most beneficial supplication. Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. Guide us to the straight path. Guide us to the straight path. Inshallah, in our class to come, we will discuss the issues with regards to the guidance to the straight path. The guidance to the straight path. If anyone has any comments or questions or corrections, we can take them now while we're waiting for the Iqamah. It's been mentioned by a number of scholars. From them, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, and also Ibn Qayyim, and also Ibn Kathir, and other than them before them. The meaning of ibadah. This has linguistic roots. The linguistic roots go back to this meaning, because ibadah is from at-ta'abbud. In the Arab they would say ba'irun mu'abbad, and they would say tariqun mu'abbad, al-ba'ir al-mu'abbad al-mudhallil, the camel that is mu'abbad, then this is one that is submissive, and that one will allow you to ride it or to put belongings on top of it, and will carry, and it will work for a person. So they call it in the Arabic language ba'ir mu'abbad, yani mudhallal, yani khadi'. And likewise, the pathway that has been taken and traversed upon any for some time, the people have walked on a particular pathway until the pathway has become flat and smooth from the footsteps, they call that tariqun mu'abbad. Tariqun mu'abbad. And it's similar, like if they put the asphalt on the land also, they can call that mu'abbad, and linguistically, because it's now flat, and it's completely flat and lowered. And so that's the meaning of ibadah, linguistically. So the means to reach that and worship is through love. It's through love. The one who loves something truly, he will surrender and submit, and he will humble himself for that thing, whatever his object of worship is. So the only true one who is worthy of worship is Allah. And the worship that he deserves is the worship that gathers these affairs here. The peak of love. The peak of love and the peak of surrender and submission and humbleness. The peak of love and the peak of submission and surrender and humbleness. La ilaha illallah. That's the meaning. La ilaha illallah. Iyaka na'budu. Iyaka na'budu. And these ideas are found there. Likewise in the Fatiha, we discussed that. Al-hub wa al-raja wal-khawf. Naam. This is the meaning of ibadah. This is the meaning of ibadah, yani the state of ibadah. The state of ibadah has these two affairs. But as for the actions of ibadah, then this is everything that is beloved to Allah. Everything that is beloved to Allah, from statements and actions. Shaykh al-Islam, he has a beautiful definition. يعني ibadah ismu jami'un lima yuhibbuhu Allahu wa radahu min al-akwali wal-amal al-zahira wa-batina. That ibadah, this worship, is a concise term, including everything that Allah loves and is pleased with, from statement and action, inwardly and outwardly. Inwardly and outwardly. This is all considered ibadah. Some of the people of knowledge have mentioned ibadah here, atathallul lillahi jalla wa ala bi fi'li awamirihi wa ijtinabi nawahihi mahabbatan wa ta'zima. This is a very beautiful definition likewise. Atathallul lillahi azza wa jal bi fi'li awamirihi wa ijtinabi nawahihi. وَاجْتِنَابِ نَوَاهِيهِ مَحَبَّةً وَتَعْظِيمًا. That a person, he would humbly submit and surrender to Allah by performing his commandments and avoiding and staying away from his prohibitions out of love and reverence and honor. Out of love and reverence and honor. This is ibadah. So the issue of ibadah goes back to obedience. So ibadah, it is ta'ah. The reality of ibadah is ta'ah. It's to submit to Allah, to surrender to Allah by obeying him. By obeying him, the soul wants to disobey. The soul wants to follow its own call and do its own thing. And the rebellious, likewise, they follow their souls and their desires. But Allah, he calls us to submit and to surrender to him. So a person, he has to check his soul. He has to check his soul and make his soul submit and surrender. Make his soul submit and surrender. And this is called mujahada. Mujahada tin nafs. Ala iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. So this is the affair. أَتَذَلُّلُ لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ بِفِعْلِ أَوَامِرِهِ بِفِعْلِ أَوَامِرِهِ وَاجْتِنَابِ نَوَاهِيهِ مَحَبَّةً وَتَعْظِيمًا مَحَبَّةً وَتَعْظِيمًا الْعِبَادَةِ أَتَذَلُّلُ لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ بِفِعْلِ أَوَامِرِهِ وَاجْتِنَابِ نَوَاهِيهِ مَحَبَّةً وَتَعْظِيمًا. Mahabbatan wa ta'zima. Who can translate that? Al-ibadah. Atadhallul lillah. Bifi'li awamirihi. Bifi'li awamirihi. By performing. بفعلي. يعني أن يفعل. على أوامره. His commandments. واجتناب. واجتناب. الاجتناب. To avoid and stay away from. To avoid and stay away from. Nawahihi. His prohibitions. Mahabbatan wa ta'zima. Out of love and now exaltation, veneration, reverence. Now, who can repeat the definition? Tadallul. Lillah. بفعل أوامره
اجتناب نواهي تعليم
محبة وتعليم هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.